Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Take away our. On the second Sunday of Advent each year, the Church leads us on a pilgrimage to the Jordan River so that we might enroll in the Advent School of John the Baptist, hear his message, and put it into action. At first glance, it seems like a strange thing to meet him at the Jordan 30 years after Christ's birth, millennia at least before his second coming. But the reason why the Church always visits John at the Jordan is because he was the one chosen by God from all eternity to get his people ready to receive his Son, who is already walking toward the Jordan River to inaugurate his public ministry. Advent, as you know, literally means coming toward. And in it, we're called to prepare for God's coming toward us in history, mystery, and majesty, as we say. In the past 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, in the future with power and great glory on the clouds of heaven, and in the present, in his word, in the Eucharist, in grace, and others. The preparatory work announced by John is the way we're called to get ourselves ready to receive the Lord who is coming. When we meet John at the Jordan, he blares, I am the voice of one crying out in the desert. Notice that he didn't say, I am one crying out in the desert, but rather I'm the voice of the one crying out in the desert. John's the voice, the loudspeaker, the spokesperson of the one who was crying out. And that's the word, Christ himself. John's message is God's message, which John was screaming at the top of his powerful lungs. The message was urgent and clear. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In the ancient world, the roads were perpetually a mess. Every time there was a battle, the roads would be attacked and bridges destroyed to try to stop the advance of the enemy. The weather took its toll as well, leading to all types of serious potholes and other obstacles. Anytime a dignitary would be coming, they would either have to fix the roads or build brand new ones so that the rolling caravan accompanying that dignitary could arrive without delay and hassle. John the Baptist is telling us that to get ready for the Lord whom we are constantly bidding, Maranatha, come divine Messiah, come Emmanuel, we too need to prepare a way. We need to make straight the paths. In the ancient world, preparing such a path meant a great deal of manual work, making crooked paths straight, rough ways smooth, and even charting paths through mountains and valleys. For us, that pathway will not be traced on the ground, but within, will not be made in the wilderness, but in the heart of our life, in the middle of the street. The work is not something that will make our hands dirty, but purify our souls. What John is calling us to is continuous conversion. To preach conversion is his mission, which is why we encounter him every Advent. Because in Advent, this message must be preached and conversion must be practiced. The reason is because Jesus came into the world to save us from our sin, from what our sins lead to, death. The very name Jesus, Yeshua, in Hebrew means God saves. And in order for us to appreciate the Savior we're going out to meet, we have to realize what he wants to do for us. That we're sinners in desperate need for him to save us from that spiritual cancer. That's why John the Baptist's message is such a gift. His whole vocation, his whole mission was to deliver and become that message. Before he was even conceived, the archangel Gabriel said to his father Zechariah, "He will turn the hearts of many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." 9 months later, when his tongue was finally loosened at his circumcision, Zechariah exclaimed, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." When he finally arrived at the Jordan, he fulfilled those prophecies, proclaiming, as we hear in today's gospel, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. His first words there were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The identical words Jesus himself would use to inaugurate his public ministry a little while later, after his 40-day retreat in the desert. Thus, John was the voice of Jesus crying out for repentance through forgiveness of sins. That voice and that word continue to echo live today. The Lord is coming for us in Advent. But for him to reach his destination, we have to convert. To make straight the path of the Lord, we need to clear the path of sin, which is the only obstacle for the Lord to come into our life. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, John the Baptist says, "Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way made smooth." It's important for us to call those topographical formations by their proper names. We have to lower the mountains of our pride and egocentrism. We have to fill in the valleys that come from a shallow prayer life, a minimalistic way of living our prayer in our choices throughout the day, a superficial way of engaging in friendship. We have to straighten out whatever crooked paths we've been walking. If we've been involved in some secret sins or behaviors, the Lord calls us through John the Baptist to end them. If we've been engaged in some dishonesty, we're called to straighten it out and do restitution. If we've been harboring grudges or hatred, failing to reconcile with others, now's the time to clear our life of that debris. If we've been pushing God off the side of the road, if we've been saying to him that we really don't have the time for him because of all the other stuff we need to do, now's the time to straighten our priorities. And this is not just our work. It's God's work, as he tells us through Baruch in today's first reading. "For God has commanded every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, so that we may advance secure in the glory of God." This Advent, which is a gift of the Lord to us, and who knows, because we never know the day or the hour, maybe our last Advent will succeed or fail on the basis of how well we convert and clear our lives so that the Lord may come. It's the reason why John the Baptist preached at the Jordan. Could have preached anywhere, this message. Could have gone to the Sea of Galilee to use a body of water that, for anybody who's ever been to the Holy Land, is much cleaner than that very sediment-filled Jordan. But the Jordan was more than a source of water where he could baptize. It was the place that represented the border between the desert, where the Jews had wandered aimlessly for 38 years after centuries of slavery in Egypt, and the promised land. By preaching this message there, John was inviting the Jews of his day to come out of the bondage of slavery, to leave their faults and their wandering, sinful lives behind, and enter into a promised land full of God's blessings. The Baptist preaches the same thing to us today. He points us to a new exodus from death to life, from sin to sanctity. It states very clearly that the path from the desert into the promised land is conversion and the forgiveness of sins. First, conversion. What does it really mean? Most of the time when we hear the word, we think about this behavior or that behavior which we have to eradicate. It's something far deeper than that. During the Jubilee year, the future Pope Benedict gave a homily to catechists from around the world who had assembled in Rome. He focused on how the first message the church must proclaim to the world and live is the message of John the Baptist that we hear at the beginning of every new liturgical year, this message to repent and believe. He commented very powerfully on what conversion really is. Listen to his words. The fundamental content of the entire Old Testament is summarized by the message of John the Baptist. Metanoete, convert. There's no access to Jesus without the Baptist. There's no possibility of reaching Jesus without answering the call of the precursor. Rather, Jesus himself took up the message of John in the synthesis of his own preaching, repent and believe. The Greek word for converting means to rethink. Metanoete means literally to turn your mind around. It means to rethink, to question one's own common way of living, to allow God to enter into the criteria of one's life, to judge not merely according to current opinions. Therefore, to convert means not to live as everyone else is living, not to do what everyone else is doing, not to feel justified in dubious, ambiguous, evil actions just because everybody else is doing the same. To convert means to begin to see one's life through God's eyes, to look for the good even when uncomfortable, to aim not at the judgment of the majority or of men, but at the justice of God. In other words, to convert means to look for a new style of life. A new life. One of the biggest challenges for the church in the United States that we confront is that so many Christians are trying to live as everyone else lives, rather than as Christ does, as the saints do. Rather than allow our faith to be leaven that lifts the whole world up, the toxins of the world often enter our hearts, our homes, and even our churches. We take our categories not from God, but from worldly gurus. The Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, who died 39 years ago today, and for whose beatification we pray, used to say that once upon a time, only Catholics believed in the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrated yesterday. And he quipped, "Now everyone believes he's immaculately conceived." The world doesn't like conversion, so we downplay our need for it, pretending as if we're not sinners, or if we are, pretending as if we don't really need God's forgiveness very much, that our sins are just peccadillos, tiny, itty-bitty little sins, pretending that we don't need what God comes to give. Consecrated men and women have a special mission in the church to show this constant need for conversion to the fullness of life in Christ. Listen to what St. John Paul II wrote in Vita Consecrata. "All the sons and daughters of the church called by God to listen to Christ necessarily feel a deep need for conversion and holiness. But this need in the first place challenges the consecrated life. In fact, the vocation of consecrated person to seek first the kingdom of God is first and foremost a call to complete conversion and self-renunciation in order to live fully for the Lord so that God may be all in all. The vocation of the consecrated, to repeat what he said, is first and foremost a call to total conversion. Today, St. John the Baptist tells us all of our need for that conversion, to turn away from worldly standards, from all our sins, from all our idols, and reach out for God's mercy, to truly believe in Jesus fully, to walk with him all our steps, and not just believing all he taught, but beginning to base our existence on it, spreading that message to others. Conversion, as the future Pope Benedict said, means to rethink and question our own way of life, to make the commitment not to live as the crowds, but as Christ and the saints live. Not to be justified because we can point to polls that everyone else thinks or acts that way, but to see our whole life from God's perspective and make the love of God and for others the real measure and criteria of our existence. That's the first thing, total conversion. Second aspect is forgiveness of sins after we have turned back to the Lord in such a way that we begin to convert, literally turn with the Lord throughout our life. John the Baptist's mission wasn't just to announce the need for repentance, but to point to how sins would actually be forgiven. He told everyone, "One more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to stoop down to untie the thong of his sandals." A short time later, he saw that more powerful one coming to him at the Jordan and exclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." If John were physically present here in Cummings today, dressed in camel hair and his leather belt and offering you locusts and wild honey to eat, what would he say? He would say to us, "Behold the one to whom I am speaking. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away your sins and the sins of the world." And his hands would point us both to baptismal fonts and to confessionals, where the Lamb of God takes away those sins, the sins for which he paid such a precious price on Golgotha. We're so much better off than John the Baptist's first listeners. Just as for them to make straight the paths, to level the mountains, to fill in the valleys, to rebuild the bridges and straighten the roads in earthly life was infinitely more complicated than it is now, with dump trucks, backhoes, bulldozers, the Army Corps of Engineers, and so much more. So spiritually, it's similarly much easier for us. We don't have to repair the roads with our bare hands, with buckets of dirt, primitive hand tools, and if we're lucky, a few oxen. God provides the heavy equipment. It's in the Sacrament of Penance that he himself goes in with all the power of heaven to do the heavy lifting. One of the most important things we need to do in Advent is not just make a confession. It's to make a really thorough confession, where we, responding to the help of the Holy Spirit, examine the peaks that need to be flattened, the deep holes that need to be filled, the serpentine ways that need to be straightened, and then come to the Lord for mercy, seeking to make the best confession of our life. Today's epistle, St. Paul prays for the Christians that the work of conversion and forgiveness of sin continue, so that we can live the new style of life that's the fully Christian one. He prays with words that I believe would have been said when you made your consecration, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The advent of that day is coming, and the time for that work of turning away from sin and turning toward and with Christ is at hand. St. Paul specifies what the good work to be completed for which he's praying actually means. "This is my prayer, that your love may increase more and more, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through him. God wants us to be pure and blameless, filled with his righteousness. Or the same words, more or less, as we heard yesterday in the Immaculate Conception, holy and immaculate before him. This is what Baruch likewise means to today, when God through him tells us that he wants us to put on the splendor of glory from God and be wrapped in the cloak of justice from God. God summons us to conversion so that we can allow his life fully to become our own. And that's why this message of conversion from the Baptist each Advent is classified as good news rather than bad. Because it is an expression of God's love giving us a second chance or a third chance or a 70 times seventh chance. It's an announcement that the king is coming and wants to meet us. But he doesn't want to ambush us by visiting us when our spiritual house is a disaster area worthy of FEMA funds. Through the work of the Baptist and the church, he announces he's coming and gives us the chance to clean our house fully to fittingly welcome such a guest. The call to conversion is a proclamation that no matter what we've done, God's forgiveness is greater. We're sinners, yes, but God comes to save us from those sins. And Jesus says something absolutely extraordinary, that heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner than for 99 who never needed to repent. And so far as the only one who never needed to repent is standing behind me. And we know how much she pleased God by her constant fiat of life. What Jesus is saying is that heaven rejoices almost 100 times more when we fully repent than even by her constant yes. And if truth incarnate hadn't said it, we would never fathom to believe it. But he did say it, and it's true. And that's why he constantly sends John. That makes us cry out today. The Lord has done great things for us. We're filled with joy because the Lord is continuing to do his good work in conforming us to him by means of his mercy, through which he fills us with his joy. As Pope Francis loves to say, God's greatest joy is forgiving. He wants us to receive that greatest joy. Conversion and coming to receive God's mercy is the best way for us to prepare to meet Jesus in his coming in the past in Bethlehem. Conversion and coming to receive God's mercy is the best way for us to prepare for his coming at the end of our life or at the end of time. Conversion and coming to receive God's mercy is the best way for us to prepare to receive him in the sacraments and prayer, especially in the Holy Eucharist, as we have the awesome privilege to be about to do. We finish with the words of the beautiful hymn that so many Catholic parishes, so many Christians across the English-speaking world sing on this day. They summarize the entire message that Jesus, crying out in the wilderness through John's voice, gives us each second Sunday. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. Then cleansed be every soul from sin. Make straight the way of God within. Prepare we in our hearts a home where such a mighty guest might come. The mighty guest is on his way. Let us prepare that home. Praise be Jesus Christ.